say that you believe in me. I'm everything that you expect me to be. Then the next you say that you don't care. We can't go on with nothing left to share. You say I do. You say it's true. I never know where it is that I stand.
Nightshade, yeah, nice guys. That that band, we used to play ball with them at the Old Grist back in the 80s. Yeah, so we're just talking about the usual thing of bringing your heart to the world on Heart Talks here, and living your true nature and purpose, and part of that is just being you, just doing you. And I was saying before that, you know, I'm reading this book by Lemmy from Motorhead, his biography and autobiography, and yeah, he was just himself, and yeah, he got kicked out of Hawkwind, and that's when he started up Motorhead, and it was called Motorhead because his last song that he wrote for Hawkwind was called Motorhead. And also, the rest of the band did acid, and he actually did speed. And in the US, being a speed freak in the US is called being a Motorhead. So it sort of all fitted together for him. And he only got kicked out of the band because he got arrested for having some sort of type of speed on him. And yeah, because the rest of the band did acid, they didn't support him. They kicked him out. If he'd been arrested for acid, it would have been a different story. So yeah, he came up with this quote, but actually he admits in the book that it really wasn't his quote. It was Dr. Hook's quote, but I think he got a bit famous for it. He said, "It'll be the dirtiest rock and roll band in the world. If we move in next door, your lawn will die." So yeah, he really just did him. And maybe not the perfect example, but I think you have a lot more fun in life if you're just you. So yeah, we'll just have one more song, and then we'll play a bit of this interview with Steve. Let's have this one. It's another Ray LaMontagne one. And it's called I Wouldn't Change a Thing.
I look back on my life so far, a lot of ups and downs, a lot of times so hard, knock me on the ground. If I had the chance to turn back time, I can tell you this, my friend, I'd do it all over again. I'd do it all over again. Back in the ring, I wouldn't change a thing. She came on hard and she came on heavy. You ain't never been the same. Just when you thought the search was over, she turned and walked away. If I had the chance to turn back time, I can tell you this, my friend, I'd do it all over again. I'd do it all over again. I'd do it all over again. I'd get right back in the ring. I wouldn't change a thing. Of the time that I've been given, wouldn't trade a single hardship for a pearl. Oh, you dealt a hand, you gotta play it. I'll come right out and say it, lay it down and let it burn. Take another swing and I wouldn't change a thing. No, I'd get right back in the ring. Take another swing and I wouldn't change a thing.
You're listening to Heart Talks with Jane, and in the studio at the moment we have Steve Murray, and he's a business advisor and he's been in this role for quite some time, but it seems like he has some visions that he'd like to bring to Raglan, and they have a bit to do with him living his own heart and doing what he loves and letting that filter out. So, hello, Steve.
Hello, everybody. really good to be here.
Yeah, lovely to have you in and on the show. So the first question that I always kick off with is, what do you love doing? Like, what makes you bounce out of bed in the mornings?
It's a very good question. The thing that gives me really the most satisfaction is helping business owners, New Zealand, specifically New Zealand business owners, to actually make a success of their business. And that sounds like a relatively straightforward, easy proposition. But the reality in New Zealand is we have about 70% of all New Zealand registered businesses are just the owner and one other. So often the owner and his wife, or the wife and her husband, are running the business. And they typically have a passion, but they don't actually understand the fundamentals of how to run a business and how to make a profit. So they're very good at the specific that they've set up the business around, but actually making a success of that is a real struggle. About 70% of all New Zealand businesses that are registered go out of business in the first 4 years. So there's this constant cycle of small business. We are a nation of small business. So I get a huge amount of satisfaction out of just getting them to the next step, basically, and understanding why are we in business, what are we actually trying to achieve, because they usually don't go into a business with that in mind. It's about, oh, I love doing this, so I'll set up a business around it, which is great in the short term, but typically you have to make it work to make it successful, to make it sustainable. So that's where I fit, really, is trying to help them to understand what sustainable looks like for them. And that can vary between, you know, engineers, mechanics, just all sorts of different businesses. And it's very much about the individual and the family in terms of what do you need out of this. So I'm working on that level.
Yeah. Cool. It sounds like you're sort of the glue that holds businesses together, because it's all really well and good and going, okay, I really love doing this, you know, this is what, you know, I've decided after 30 or 40 years of doing something that I, you know, just is okay just to put food on the table, and now I really love doing this. But you've still got to treat it as a business. You've still got to have the structure and the business in place. And
yeah. Absolutely, especially if you're a registered business. A lot of businesses operate as just, you know, they don't operate with any sort of fundamental structure or formal structure. But if you're a registered business, of which there are a few thousand, you know, 5,000 or 6,000 in New Zealand, then yes, you have to do it properly. And again, most people who go into business understand the thing that they are going into business for. They wrap their head around that. But the reality of what have I got to do to actually keep the business profitable, legal, you know, it's all of that stuff that sits behind it. That's not fun. So I get to be involved in all the not fun bits, really, most of the time.
Yeah.
But it's incredibly rewarding as a role, and I've been doing it for a long time. And I sort of got into it by becoming a business mentor. I was working with a couple of clients up in Auckland and driving back to the Waikato, and I heard business mentors being advertised on the radio that they were looking for new mentors. So I answered, rang them and got involved, and I've been doing that for about 20 years or so. So that's sort of how I got into doing this on the scale that I do it. Yeah,
that's really cool, because it sounds like you were sort of almost called to do it.
Yeah, you could put it that way, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's really cool to talk to you too, because, you know, it's, you know, we talk on this show about bringing your heart to the world, living your true nature and purpose, and that can sound a little bit airy-fairy, but what you do is really sort of underpin it with a really good sort of structure that doesn't take away that imaginative side of creating the business. What it does is it really just pulls it all together.
Yeah, that's a very good way to describe it. To me, it's not really relevant what the business owner is passionate about doing. It's locking the fundamentals into making sure that actually works for them. I honestly haven't come across many business owners in New Zealand who've gone into a business and they don't like it. You know, they choose to do it because it's something that gives them the energy to get up in the morning. So it's then making sure that they've actually got a sustainable business and they're not doing anything stupid. And I can't emphasize enough the challenges around somebody who decides to go into business for themselves and understanding all the stuff that sits around it other than just doing the work that creates the business. And that's true of anything from engine reconditioners to artists to,
yeah,
you know, across the spectrum, really.
Yeah, so yeah, that's really interesting, because you can work with anybody in any business.
No.
No?
No, I can't, actually. One of the... And that's a really good question, or an insight. No, because a lot of business owners, I say a number of business owners I've engaged with over the years, I'm just not compatible with from a relationship perspective. So they, for example, they'll ask you for advice and then completely ignore it. So, you know, that for me is a complete waste of time, especially if I'm doing it as a mentor, which is a, you know, completely unpaid role. And I had a good example of that a year or so ago. They had a particular vision about what they wanted to do, and no matter what I suggested, the husband in the partnership just argued with everything. And so after about three meetings, I said, well, I'm not doing this anymore. It was an hour and a half drive to get there in the first place. So it was like a 3-hour round trip. And I said, I'm just not interested. Sorry. You know, you want help, but you don't want help. So you do whatever you want to do and go off and do it. So,
yeah. Yeah. And that's the same in any business. The same with me working with people and their animals. You know, if I'm looking at bringing someone into like a 1-year mentoring program, then we have got an extensive meet up beforehand, just to make sure that the commitment's there and that they are willing to follow through. Yeah, it's that follow through that really counts at the end of the day.
Yeah. And just to be really clear, if that happens when I'm being paid as well, that doesn't make any difference.
Yeah.
I don't wake up in, I absolutely don't wake up in the morning thinking, oh, for God's sake, I've got to go and see John or Fred or whoever it is that I'm not getting on with. Because it doesn't work. If that relationship isn't there, it doesn't work. If the lack of, you know, if there's no trust either way, then it just doesn't work. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's just a thing, isn't it? We're not compatible with everyone, and they might have their own reasons for that, and it could just simply be that, you know, they're just letting their ego get in the way and sabotage it all, you know? They know that you've got great advice, that you know what you're doing, but there's still that underlying sort of... Well, their focus is in their ego, really, and it's not in their hearts and creating the business and moving forward. So you've done this for a long time, and it sounds like it is really something that is a huge passion of yours, to really see people fly and getting their businesses off the ground. But have you always done it, or did you do something else before?
Oh, I've done lots of things, in the past. I've owned a number of businesses, or set up a number of businesses before this. One of my real passions is the arts. When I was growing up, music was one of my great drivers. And I think it was particularly because being as a rebellious teenager, I hated music my dad played at any time, so I got really invested in music that was a bit different. Things that he would yell up the stairs, turn that bloody rubbish off. those sorts, and it was really just to get the better of my dad sometimes. But I became very heavily invested in music. So this was back in the UK before I immigrated here. So I shipped about 300 albums over once I knew I was going to stay here. I shipped all my music over and then went back to the UK about 5 years later and had to ship it all back again, and then came back here again and had to ship it all back here again. So a lot of my old albums have been backwards and forwards across the oceans. So yeah, music is one of my real passions. Also owned an art gallery in Cambridge for 6 years. We had that. I had an interior design business in the UK. I had a business promoting New Zealand artists in the UK. So we had, just trying to think how many, 6 or 7 artists that we were working closely with. Had a New Zealand artist exhibition in Cardiff, which went on for 3 weeks. And it was just New Zealand artists, so there was art and ceramics and some soft art as well. So creativity has been sort of not my creativity, because I'd have to put my hand up and say I don't have a creative bone in my body in that sense. I'm creative around how I can solve problems for businesses, but I've been around creatives for a big part of my life. And
it helps if you've had creators in your life to really appreciate creativity in others as yeah. well, because you're probably quite, you know, you might not have done a lot of it yourself, but in being around people and observing and being a part of their creativity, it really builds on your appreciation of the arts.
Yeah, certainly from a starting point, when we were back in the UK, and I'm not sure what made me go down that path of let's promote New Zealand art here. I can't remember what the thinking was at the time, but it just felt completely normal at the time. It also gave me the opportunity to come back to New Zealand, because I hated being back in the UK. It gave me the reason to come back here and meet a whole bunch of people. And this was before the days of the internet and easy access, you know. So it's building up a network of artists who are confident enough to be promoted in the UK. So that was a real passion for 3 or 4 years. And then unfortunately circumstances meant we ended up coming back here, which I don't have any regrets about, because I didn't like being back in the UK particularly. As soon as I left New Zealand to go back to the UK, I realised I'm actually a Kiwi. I knew pretty much after I came here. I went to a New Zealand versus England cricket match in Auckland about 6 months after I got here, and I'd been watching cricket since I was a 4-year-old. That's been a big part of my life, and following the English cricket team. But coming out here and actually sitting in Eden Park watching the game, I realised that I was actually supporting New Zealand. I was actually more interested in how they were playing rather than the English team. Didn't really know many of the players at that stage because I'd only been here a few months. And that was a real surprise. I knew I'd felt like I was at home, but I hadn't realised that it was quite that intense that quickly. So, yes, this absolutely is home, and has been for a long time now. And going back to the UK for 4 or 5 years, because my wife at the time absolutely, she'd not really experienced the UK for any length of time. And she wanted to go and see what life was like. But I thought, not really keen on that, but that's what she wanted to do, so.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I've talked about that before on the show, actually, is when we visit places like, you know, when I go to LA, I feel completely at home there.
Yeah.
And I love Hollywood, and it's like part of me stays there, and I'm always thinking about it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but New Zealand, of course, is where I was born, so it's my home. So that's really interesting that you had that bit of a switch around, that now New Zealand is definitely your place.
the longer I'm away from the UK and the more I sort of observe it from a distance, the less and less it feels like home, to be honest.
Yeah.
The last sort of 4 or 5 years with the lunatic Boris in charge just sort of encapsulated that for me.
Yeah. Oh, no. So you've been into a few things, and it seems to be like one of my questions is what was the turning point, but it sort of has been evident that it was when you actually heard about the mentoring program.
Yep. I can vividly remember it. I was driving back from Auckland. I was in one of the back roads on my way back to not far away from Cambridge. I was about 30, 40 minutes away from home, and the ad came on the radio, and not that day because it was sort of late in the evening. It was 5, 6 o'clock at night. So the next day I rang and joined. And I've had some fantastic experiences through the mentoring program with some really cool people. So I've got three companies I'm mentoring at the moment, which I've just started again, having got over long COVID for a while. So I feel like I've got some energy back.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, nice. It must be a real joy to see them on their journey and really coming from, you know, limping along a little bit or just starting out to really flourishing.
Yes. Yeah.
And
having worked with business owners for a very long time, what the hardest thing to do is ask for help, because often that internally feels like, oh, I'm a failure, I don't know how to make this work. So actually reaching out for help is to me that's the starting point of, oh, I actually want to work with them, because they've had the insight that they need some external advice or some external support. Again, don't always get on once you meet them, but that's been a very rare occurrence, to be honest. So
yeah I imagine. Yes, it's that asking for help, it's a bit like guys asking for directions, isn't it? So it's quite hard to do. So that's probably why they, you know, sort of escalate and then fall and go on a little bit of a roller coaster ride before they actually come to you.
Yeah, often. I think that's, I was just going to say, I think that's changed quite considerably with the younger generations coming through. They haven't got that same resistance to asking for help that the previous generations had, because they don't see it as a sign of failure.
Interesting. Yes, and going back to your love of music, I know you've got quite an extensive record collection. So what are you into musically?
Can I tell you what I'm not into?
Nah. What are you not into?
Country and Western drives me mad. So, you know, from a personal perspective, the fact that you and my wife love the country and Western. So, yeah, that's not a great thing for me, but I've recognised that I've just got to that period where a lot of the new music doesn't do anything for me at all. And that's only really recently been in the last 2 or 3 years. There's certainly some current bands that I really like. The Beatles would be my favourite band, and that's going back obviously a long way. I got very into Coldplay in the 90s. Just trying to think who my band was, who the key band was in the 2000s. I can't really remember, to be honest. But I've got an iPod with about 15,000 songs on it, which was my son's. And my son passed away early, so that's my connection to him, is all of his music.
Beautiful.
And others that I've added in on top of that. And I've got a few hundred CDs as well. And so really it covers all sorts of things. it's very hard to say a specific genre because I do like music from almost every genre apart from what my mum and dad liked. I really like some classical music. I love piano. The piano is my favourite instrument. So listening to really good pianists playing beautiful pieces of music, I just find that so calming. So if I'm in need of calming down, that's my go-to. It's a very wide selection of bands that I've liked over the years.
So your appreciation, like the rest of the arts, sort of has quite a wide reach.
That's
a lovely connection with your son as well, to have that. I'm reading a biography or autobiography of Lemmy from Motorhead at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
And he speaks very highly of the Beatles.
Yep.
He was around in the industry just starting out when the Beatles and the Stones came in, and over in the UK, and he was saying the Beatles were the absolute bomb, you know. Apparently he saw them, he was at one of their gigs, and someone called John Lennon gay or something on stage, and he just jumped off the stage and said, "What did you say to me?" and then bashed him. And he said the Stones were okay, but they really just had Mick Jagger jumping around, and they really were just, you know, rich kids, and then sort of tried to make themselves look like they weren't to get a bit of a life. So, yeah, definitely the Beatles.
Cool. I have vivid memories of the White Album, buying the White Album and listening to that and having my head completely blown apart
Yeah.
There is such a variety of music on that, from Paul's sort of schmaltzy songs, which have their place, to Revolution Number 9, which is just one of the most outrageous pieces of music. And for its time and age was, what the hell is that?
Right.
There was nothing like that. And for the most popular band in the world at the time to actually come out with a piece of music like that, it's like mind-blowing, literally mind-blowing. So,
yeah, Hendrix, as the listeners might know, is a little bit of my go-to as well. I find him very mind-blowing. Nice. So do you have any involvement with the arts at the moment?
No, not specifically, other than supporting my wife, who's a creative.
And just talking to that too, my appreciation of country music came about through you and your wife's... your wife and I's attendance at line dancing.
Yeah.
So, yes, if you came to line dancing with us, then your appreciation of country music would grow.
I don't think I'd agree with you on that one, Jade. Because I don't dance either, never have. So, and I'm not in that sort of state of mind thinking, oh, I should try that before I die, you know. So, no, I don't think so.
I don't dance either. I'm absolute rubbish, but I love it. I love it. So you don't have any involvement at the moment in the arts, but...
No, not specifically, no. So I've got no clients who are creatives. I guess it depends what you call creatives, because I am working with a couple of businesses that are doing online, so they build software, they build websites and stuff. So, I mean, there's creativity around that, obviously.
Definitely.
But the traditional creative side, no real involvement at the moment. And that's one of the reasons why I'm really keen to get involved, because I think I can add value from a structural point of view, and I do have a real interest in seeing artists flourish.
Yeah, definite background there. So, the AGM for the Arts Council's coming up, and you're looking at being active in a nomination there.
Yes, yeah, I've put my name forward to be chair. And again, that comes from my business background because I sit on half a dozen boards at the moment, and I chair a couple of the companies I sit on boards for. So it's not about bringing that business experience to the table. That's really not what it's about. What I see my role as a chair as is actually getting everybody else involved. For me, the chair role is not about being the voice. The chair role is actually about encouraging everybody around the table to have a voice so that everybody's heard. I know from my experience with commercial boards, you always get one or two board members, depending on how big the board is, but the bigger the board, the worse the problem gets, is that you'll have one or two voices that you never hear. So encouraging people to be active and part of the conversation for me is one of the keys to success around that table.
Yeah, definitely, because everybody brings their own, well, for lack of a better word, heart to the table. They have their own, not just what they're good at, but everybody's got their own perspective as well.
Yeah.
And that's really important to put into the mix. I've been on a few boards as well, and yeah, it does seem to be that way, that there's usually just a few strong voices, and it does take a good chairperson to really allow the space for everyone to have their say.
Yeah. And just can I make another comment? I don't see this as being a long period of, even on the board. One of my biggest goals would be to get somebody around mid-20s, late-20s, early-30s at the oldest who's really keen to actually step up and be that person, and just supporting them through the initial process. So my vision is that within 2 or 3 years there'll be somebody in there at worst in their early 30s, actually. So handing it over to the next generation, or in fact we're not even the next generation, it's the generation below the next generation for me. So getting the young generations involved in that, what are we actually trying to achieve? What are we, you know, what does this look like? How do we want it to operate? How do we make it work for a wide variety of creative minds?
Yeah. I see that vision as being essential, really, and it's a bridge. It's if you can use your mentoring background to just build that bridge through the generation gap, so somebody feels comfortable stepping into that role with your support along the way, would be huge. Yeah, that's a really valid vision, and and I wish you all the best in your nomination for Chair of the Arts Council.
I've got no idea how it's going to go in terms of, you know, I understand there's a significant number of members. How many will turn up is a whole other question. You know, I know because I've been on the board of the chamber for the last couple of years, actually getting people to turn up has been one of the single biggest challenges. So, you know, I've got no idea how it's going to go, but put my hand up and say, right, well, I'm prepared to be involved and...
Yeah,
just
I mean,
wait,
it's an AGM, so everyone that's interested in the arts should really pop along, and if it's not a line dancing night, I'll be there.
I think it's a Tuesday.
You're good then. I'll be there.
Yeah,
cool. Okay, so, it's... It's a really, it's a big part of the Raglan community that the Arts Centre, isn't it?
So, yes.
It's really important for it to have a really solid direction. And, yeah. So we have one more question. Which I usually play a song, but this is recorded, so I'll just stop. So, I'll just stop there, the interview, and let's play some Beatles for Steve. By the Beatles, and we're just listening to a recorded interview with Steve Murray, and we'll come back to the remainder of that interview, but we'll just play a few ads first.
This week at the Harvey Hotel, Tuesday trivia night, $10 air special and $20 muscle pot. Wednesday, pizza special, 20% off any pizza 5 plate. Thursday, jackpot draw of $1,100 meat raffle, burger and beer for $30. $10 mojitos, pina coladas Thursday, Friday. Friday, happy hour, 4 to 7. Saturday, Sunday, brunch, 9 to 2. Don't forget we are closed on Monday, just rule.
Here you go.
We look forward to welcoming you and yours for a great time in Raglan at the Harbourview Hotel.
Starting a landscaping project or just need ideas? Come and see us at Raglan Landscape Supplies. We have all the landscaping products you need, from stones to sleepers, sand to bark, drainage meters to builder's mix, pavers to compost. We even have a plant nursery. We deliver to your door. We have free customer loan trailers. We also hire out a post-hole borer, concrete mixer, compactor and water blaster.
Please check out our website, www.reglandlandscapesupplies.co.nz.
We are at 140 Tomato Road. Look for the big green wheelbarrow or ring 825 0577.
Raglan Community Radio supports the Raglan Food Bank.
The food bank can be found at 36 Bow Street opposite the Community House and is open for business between 1 and 3 Mondays and Fridays.
Donations can be dropped off at these times or at Super Value.
Check out the food bank's current needs on our sign at the Super Value entrance or online at surfside.co.nz.
Or find out more about the Surfside Community Services, Food Bank and Counselling Services by phoning 825 5199.
The Raglan Food Bank. Raglan's only true community bank.
On the air, on the web, 24/7, raglanradio.com.
Righto, and you're listening to Heart Talks with Jane, and we're just listening to an interview with Steve Murray, our business advisor, and we're just going to get back to the end of that now, the recording, and play a song, so, but we'll ask it now. And the question is, what did you love doing as a kid?
That's, I've been thinking about this, because there was quite a lot of things I loved doing while I was a kid. I think the thing that gave me the most pleasure was freedom. And I know it's a very broad answer, but my parents were very trusting. I found a second family because I didn't get on, because I had a sister, and you know, you don't get on with sisters when you're growing up and stuff. So I had another family within the village I lived in the UK. And Kevin and I would go off and do all sorts of stuff. And this is somebody I'm still in close contact with now, you know, many, many decades later. We'd go canoeing on the local canals. Well, that was a 10-mile bike ride at the age of 8 on our little bikes with a canoe on the back, being on a trolley on the back.
It's a long way.
Yeah, so it's a long way. Yeah, so I think back on those and think, God, we were mad. And parents had no idea what we were up to. So that's probably one. It's quite a broad answer to the question, but just the freedom to be able to grow up as me and not have an awful lot of influence on that. My dad gave up when I was 13. His last successful attempt at control was making me have my hair cut to go to grammar school, and I didn't have my hair cut again for 6 years after that, so I had very long hair. So he sort of gave up after that one. So all through my teenage years, I learnt resilience and how to cope with all sorts of stuff going on. I had my first epileptic attack when I was 16, and that scared the crap out of me, frankly. I was on my bike going to my uncle's scrapyard to work, and next thing I knew, I was awake in hospital. So I remember feeling a little bit dizzy while I was riding my bike across the main road. Somebody followed me because he saw me wobbling all over the place. Woke up in hospital. And that was as a 16-year-old, that was a pretty fundamental thing that happened in my life, because it was couldn't get a license to drive for 3 years. Wouldn't have been in New Zealand if it hadn't have been for my epilepsy, because while I was going through that recovery period, I had to catch the bus to go to uni, because what was I doing in those days? God, trainee quantity surveyor in those days. Thought that was what I wanted to be. realised that my brain doesn't work on that sort of detail and that sort of level. So I finished that and then came to New Zealand. But I met my first wife in the pub in my little village in the UK, and that would never have happened, but the bus stopped right outside the pub. And one particular night, because I didn't normally do this, one particular night I thought, oh, I fancy a beer, so I walked into the pub, and Lynn was in there, and so I wouldn't be in New Zealand if it hadn't have been for my epilepsy. So I'm eternally grateful to that what felt like a disaster as a 15-year-old actually changed my life completely for the good.
Yeah. It's a good way of standing back and observing, you know, how these things come in and how they just direct us in a way that's turned out pretty good. Yeah, it's like that Sliding Doors movie, eh? It's like,
yes, know, yeah, very that, much so. Yeah.
If that didn't happen, what, you know, yeah.
Well, I can honestly say if that hadn't have happened, if I hadn't have had my, I hadn't been an epileptic, I definitely wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
Definitely wouldn't have ever come to New York. That would never have crossed my mind, you know.
You'd just be mooching around the UK somewhere.
Yeah. Who knows? Yeah, who knows?
Oh, well, that's lovely. And that freedom too, like when you were talking about it, I could really feel into the importance of that. And I really see it as something that you innately give to the people that you work with as well. It's like, I see, even though you're putting structure into their business, I also see that you are letting them a certain amount of freedom to, you know, stay true to their vision and have that bit of leeway that really helps them bring it to life in a way that's true for them.
You can never force anybody to do what they don't want to do. Chad, alert that very, very early on in this process around helping business owners. So there is really only one way, is to do exactly what you've just said.
Yeah.
They have to do it at their own, in their own pace, at their own level, and you know, and some embrace it completely and just leap in, and others that can take... Oh, I've got one guy I've been working with for about 10 years. Still haven't got to that point quite yet, so...
Yeah, there was this Japanese word that I had on the show a few weeks ago. It keeps coming up, and it's ubatori, and it alludes to the fact that people are like flowers, and they bloom in their own individual way and in their own time. And I really like that because I really think it's true. You know,
we
can't force things. We can set an intention, we can set a vision, but forcing it is, it just doesn't happen. There's a certain amount of equanimity to be had. So, yeah, and I see you bringing all of that to the Raglan community, you know, as you sort of weave yourself into serving in different areas in the community. So, yeah, that's
as, really cool. As you've been talking, I've just I hadn't realised this until literally 20 seconds ago as you were saying something. There is actually quite a lot of creativity in working with individuals and understanding how they operate, how to get the best out of them, how to get them to where they need to be and to support them through that process. It does take quite a bit of creativity. So,
yeah. So you're hugely creative yourself, really.
Well, yeah, in a non-traditional use of the word, yeah, I think so. I could probably agree to that, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, cool. Oh, well, it's been really lovely chatting and getting to know you a bit better.
Yeah, well, thank you for the opportunity. It's been really nice coming in.
Yeah, and I actually live next door to Steve and Siani and rent their little unit out the back. So, but we all tend to just stay, I was saying the other day, we tend to stay in our own little worlds and just sort of toddle along, and I write and do a bit of animal communication, and Steve's coming and going in his little yellow car, and so it's really nice to have a chat on here and yeah, really, really see who you are, so it's lovely.
You just mentioning the little yellow car, I just realised one of my great passions over the years had been stupid cars, and I don't classify the little yellow one as a stupid one, but stupid more in the sense that they're expensive, hard to maintain, hard to get bits for, rare, unusual, weird, so stupid in that sense. and moving to Raglan, I've got rid of that completely.
It's time to get another one.
No, I've got no, seriously, I've got no interest in getting rid of. I see people drive, you know, lots of really flash cars come into Raglan, and I've just got no desire whatsoever. So driving around in the little yellow Honda with a bang up the backside as well, because I managed to back into a petrol tanker.
Well, you know, the thing is too that it's not that, you know, we grow up and get past it. I think sometimes we have these, they're not heart-led loves. They're more just something that's a bit fleeting from maybe our egoic structure rather than it's really true for us, because otherwise, you know, now that you're leading a more heart-led life in doing what you love, then it's just not true for you to do anymore.
It was definitely an ego thing. Yeah. I absolutely can say absolutely it was definitely an ego thing. In the sense that you get recognised because you're driving a stupid car, whatever it might be. So, yes, it definitely fitted that description.
Yeah, but they are gorgeous too at the end of the day, some of those cars. Yeah, cool. Well, thank you so much again for coming in.
Thank you for the opportunity.
And again, all the best with your nomination.
Thank you.
Yeah. So that was the interview with Steve Murray. And let's play some more Beatles for him.
When I get to the bottom, I go back to the top of the slide. Where I stop and I turn and I go for a ride. Till I get to the bottom and I see you again. Yeah. Don't you want me to love you?
You ain't no dancer.
So that was Helter Skelter by the Beatles for Steve, who we recorded an interview with yesterday. And, yeah, interesting talking to him and talking about the business that he's in and advising people how to put structure into their small businesses. It sounds like he was saying he works with, you know, there's usually just one or two people in the business, and New Zealand businesses in particular. So, yeah, and doing what you love is one thing, and turning it, like, from a hobby, so to speak, into an actual something that you can live off does require structure, and it does require, some input that that gives it the business side that it needs, and the information that can help move it forward and really make it, monetize it. That's the word I'm looking for. Monetize it so you can live off it. And it doesn't mean that you know, it's going to be turned into something that's really boring, as we found with Steve. He's really good at giving people room to stay true to their vision and stay with what they've imagined the business to be. So, yeah, very, very cool job. So, yeah, and working with creatives is part of what he does too, and he's working with some computer guys who are making programs at the moment. So, hugely creative. Okie dokie, let's just play another song. Haven't played this one yet. This is one that I play every week, and this guy's extremely creative. He writes his own songs and he plays them, and plays them at the Raglan Club every Thursday night. This is James Ray, 4th of July.
Come from miles around, gather round before the sun went down, roasting marshmallows by campfire light on the 4th of July. Having summertime fun, sipping lemonade, playing in the sun, sleeping in the shade, pegging and grinning granny's whiting flies on the 4th of July. I remember those fireworks in the sky, hot dogs and french fries, ice cream and apple pie. On the 4th of July, running barefoot through the front yard, playing spin the bottle out behind the bar, chasing fireflies into the night on the 4th of July. Spitting watermelon seeds to see who's best. Pops drop his teeth and the dog bit the rest. Laughed so hard we all darn near cried on the 4th of July. I remember those fireworks in the sky, hot dogs and french fries, ice cream and apple pie on the 4th of July. Johnson's Creek, I thought I'd grown up when I got my first peek. I see Becky Smith in the moonlight on the 4th of July. Got my first kiss when I was 10. I wish I didn't know now what I didn't know then. She kicked me in the shin and punched me in the eye on the 4th of July. I remember those fireworks in the sky, hot dogs and french fries, ice cream and apple pie on the 4th of July. life. I remember those fireworks in the sky, hot dogs and French fries, ice cream and apple pie on the 4th of July. On the 4th of July. On the 4th of July.
That was James Ray, the 4th of July, and he's playing at the Raglan Club every Thursday night, except not this Thursday night, because he doesn't play on the last Thursday of the month. I believe it's jam night at the club. So, head on down, and if you'd like to learn some line dancing, then come down at 5:30, and Louisa, or sometimes Siani, will be teaching, and it's fun. It can seem a little bit tricky at the start, but it's worth it if you persevere. So, come on down. The bar staff are lovely, and the food's really nice too, so good night. Let's stick with some country, and we will have Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. This isn't a song that we do a line dance to. Fishing in the Dark.
Lazy yellow moon coming up tonight, shining through the trees. Crickets are singing and lightning bugs are floating on the breeze. Baby, get ready. Across the field where the creek turns back by the old stump road, I'm gonna take you to a special place that nobody knows. Baby, get ready. Ooh, ooh. You and me go fishing in the dark, lying on our backs and counting the stars where the cool grass grows. Down by the river in the full moonlight, we'll be falling in love in the middle of the night, just moving slow. Almost over and the summer's come and the days are getting long. I waited all winter for the time to be right just to take you along. Baby, get ready. And it don't matter if we sit forever and the fish don't bite. We'll jump in a river and cool ourselves from the heat of the night. Baby, get ready. Ooh.
So that was a bit more country. Sorry about that, Steve. No, you don't like country. Fishing in the Dark, Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. But up next we'll play some David Bowie and we'll play Moonage Daydream. That was the name of his movie that came out a few years back. And just talking about what we're talking before and just letting things unfold naturally and putting structure into things, but not really sort of forcing them, just letting them unfold. And you know, I mentioned that word again in the interview, ubitori, that Japanese word where people are like flowers and they just bloom in their own individual way and in their own time. And when you're in that sort of space of just doing you, like Lemmy from Motorhead, and we're talking about the autobiography I'm reading at the moment of his. I don't think I'm going to get it finished for book club tonight, but never mind. When you're just yourself and you're just letting things unfold and not forcing and that, then the most amazing things happen. And when I went to see this movie, Moonage Daydream, I was shopping. And I was in Hollywood and I was shopping on Hollywood Boulevard and I went up to the theatre. It's actually the Dolby Theatre where they hold the Oscars and there's movie theatres in there. And I just wanted to see what was on. And this was on and I was like, well, that's good because I haven't seen it. And it was in the Chinese Theatre, which I had never been in before. That's amazing. And I was sitting there with a few bags of shopping, waiting for it to start, and this guy stood up and started introducing the movie. And blow me down, it was Burt Morgan, who was the director and writer and producer, I think, of the movie. And so, yeah, only in Hollywood, and only when you least expect it. And then afterwards, after the movie played, he sat there and watched it, of course, and afterwards he did a Q&A. So it was absolutely amazing. So yeah, when you're just doing you and not trying to make things happen, they just do happen. So let's play that song now.
You're squawking like a big monkey bird, and I'm busting up my brain for the world. I said, keep your electric eye on me, baby. Let your jumping, ooh, yeah, ooh, yeah.
We might play that next, actually. It's quite a nice one. I loaded it up because Steve mentioned that he liked Coldplay back in the 90s, I think. So, and we were listening to an interview with Steve Murray before, business advisor, talking about his interest in bringing his heart to the Raglan community and serving at the Arts Centre on the board. So yeah, all the best with that. Yeah, and talking about, this is Heart Talks that you're listening to, so talking about bringing your heart to the world. And I always mention too about my voice, because obviously it's not quite like everyone else's, and I do have scarred vocal cords and from surgery in 1987. And people do tend to think that I've just got a cold, which is always interesting. But no, this is how I've sounded for quite some time now. And I did actually lose my voice completely in 2002. They thought they might be able to fix it, but yeah, they were a little bit over-exuberant. And so I think I had 6 laser surgeries in 14 months or something like that. Anyway, then my throat closed up and they didn't quite know what to do about it, so I ended up not being able to talk for about 8 months. And that was interesting. It really made me understand how it is for animals and how it is for them to try and have to get their message across and communicate. And that's why it's really important for us to have a deep connection with our animal family and really learn to understand them, because, you know, to not be able to speak is, yeah, it's an interesting space to be in and to try and get your message across. I think I did a lot of throwing of things and during that 8 months at my kids. But, it's definitely a little bit scary, and I can only imagine how animals cope, especially in abusive situations. It must just be awful. But anyway, let's play this Coldplay song, A Sky Full of Stars.
Cause you're a sky full of stars. is your sky full of stars. I want to die in your arms. Oh, oh, oh. Seek it lighter the more it gets dark. I'm gonna give you my heart. Oh.
Full of Stars by Coldplay, and yeah, we're just talking on Heart Talks. We've just listened to an interview with Steve Murray, and who's a business advisor and been doing what he loves for the last 30 plus years and helping small businesses, bringing the art to the world, but at the same time putting a fair amount of structure into their business. So, very cool job. Then I was saying about when I lost my voice for 8 months in 2002 and the impact that it had and the understanding that it gave me of how animals must be. And, you know, it's really important to learn to connect and communicate with our animal family and really see and hear them. I did a course with Margaret Coates, who's an amazing UK animal communicator and healer, a few years back, and I'd already been reading her books and working with horses doing communication since 2006, but when I did the course with her, it was a lovely experience because she really advocates for animals, and she really is a voice for the animal kingdom, and she pulls no punches when she sees abuse as well. So I think that we should all be like that, really. And if we are seeing or know of any animals that are not being treated fairly or treated well, then we have to speak up for them and speak out for them and do our part for them. So, yeah, I've got a website called happilyheart.com, and Yeah, I'm more than willing to have a chat to anybody that wants to know more about connecting with your animals. So, yeah, let's have some more country. I played this Shibuzi person last week because we were learning a line dance to one of his songs, which is pretty cool. This is another one of his called Sticks and Stones.
Sticks and stones may break my bones, but this here feels like a bullet hole. Broke my heart when you said you won't. I won't look back if you let me go. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but this here feels like a bullet hole. Broke my heart when you said you won't. I won't look back if you let me go. Since you left me, I've been empty. Drinking whiskey out the bottle like it's trendy. Another late night, pouring miles on the Chevy. And I'd be lying if I said it don't affect me. Someone help me, please help me. They say a broken heart could be deadly. Don't tell me, we were meant to be. This is far from a fairy tale ending. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but this here feels like a bullet hole. Broke my heart when you said you won't. I won't look back if you let me go. Still feel like a bullet hole. Broke my heart when you said you won't. I won't look back if you let me go. Yeah, I should've listened to my dog. I should've never took you home. You said that you were homie down and then you play me like a hoe. I'm in a truck with four new good years. I can swerve him through the snow. Don't give a fuck about the weather. Pack my shit and hit the bus. I hit the jackpot like casino. Must be why you tryna run. And when I pull up in that Shelby, people act like this a ghost. When you left, I came up. I did the most. Someone help me. They say a broken heart could be deadly. Don't tell me we're meant to be. This is far from a fairy tale ending. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but this here feels like a bullet hole. Broke my heart when you said you won't. I won't look back if you let me go. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but this here feels like a bullet hole. Broke my heart when you said you won't. I won't look back if you let me go.
That was Sticks and Stones by Shibuzi. They say that he is an artist at the crossroads of country and hip-hop. So yeah, there's a few of those coming out at the moment. They're bringing out some really good music. So yeah, I remember that saying that as a kid actually. Sticks and Stones won't break my bones and will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And when I've been chatting to people, the last question that I ask is what did you love doing as a kid? And I think it's something that's pretty cool to ask yourself, what did you love doing as a kid? Because I think what we naturally did as kids is what is really true for us to do. And what we innately love doing on the planet. And maybe what we should be doing now, or doing more of now. So, yeah, something to think about. And in the meantime, let's have a song from something a bit left field. Another 80s. No, I don't think they're from the 80s, but I think Paul Martin, who's in this band, was in another band in the 80s, just slipped my mind. But anyway, this is Devil Skin with Burning Tree.
Burning Tree. broken like a burning tree, broken like a part of me, lifeless like I seem to be. Perfect symmetry, all I want to be, all I need to see. Forgotten, bitterly, silent sympathy. Like teardrops on the screen, our fears destroy our dreams. My eyes are open wide, and my heart, it breaks for me. And what the hell's become of me? But by the fire of my reality, forgotten bitterly.
Yeah, and I remembered, Paul Martin, of course, was in Nightshade, but I don't think it was in it for very long. But anyway, we're going to have one more country song before we finish today. But coming up, actually, on the next show's coming up is Cosmic Salutations with Caleb from 5:30 to 6:30, I think, 5 to 6:30, and then What the Funk with Brett from 6:30 to 8 or 8:30. So yeah, a couple of good shows coming up next. And let's have another Shabuzi song, the one that I quite like that we learnt the line dance to. It's called A Bar Song, Tipsy.
My baby born a Birkin, she's been
telling me all night long. Gasoline and groceries, the list goes on and on. It's 9 to 5, ain't working. Why the hell do I work so hard? I can't worry about my problems. I can't take them when I'm gone. One, here comes the 2 to the 3 to the 4. Tell them bring another round, we need plenty more. Two-stepping on the table, she don't need a dance floor. Oh my, good Lord. Someone pour me up a double shot of whiskey. They know me and Jay Daniels got a history. There's a party downtown near Fifth Street. Everybody at the bar getting tipsy. Everybody at the bar getting tipsy. Everybody at the bar getting tipsy. I've been boozy since I left. I ain't changing for a check. Tell my mind I ain't forget. Woke up drunk at 10 a.m. We gon' do this shit again. Tell your girl to bring a friend. Oh Lord. One, here comes the 2 to the 3 to the 4. Tell them bring another round, we need plenty more. Two-stepping on the table, she don't need a dance floor. Oh my, good Lord. Someone pour me up a double shot of whiskey. They know me and Jay Daniels got a history. There's a party downtown near Fifth Street. Everybody at the bar. Comes the 2 to the 3 to the 4. When it's last call and they kick us out the door. It's getting kinda late, but the ladies want some more. Oh my, good Lord.
Tell them drink some.
Someone pour me up a double shot of whiskey. They know me and Jay Daniels got a history. There's a party downtown near Fifth Street. Everybody at the bar getting tipsy. Someone pour me up a double shot of whiskey.
That was another Shabuzi called A Bar Song and Tipsy. And yeah, you've been listening to Heart Talks. Thank you very much. And this will go onto the radio station website as a podcast. And it'll also go onto my website, Happily Heart. And yeah, I hope you enjoyed the interview with Steve. So yeah, ka kite, and catch you next week.
Hi Raglan, Wayne Super Values. Come in and check out our great specials with over 1,000 every week. If you are a gold card holder, every second Tuesday is for you. Present your card and receive an instant 5% discount on your purchases, including all existing specials. Our community cash grants are available to all local clubs and organisations. Our New Zealand Post and KiwiBank staff are here to help. We look forward to seeing you in store and being part of this great Raglan community.
Do you need affordable and reliable electrical services? Look no further than Stanley Electrical. From new housing and renovations to indoor and outdoor lighting designs, we can help you with appliance repairs, heat pumps and ventilation systems, as well as Freeview and satellite systems. Whether you're a residential, commercial or rural customer, we've got you covered. Contact Stanley Electrical today on 825-0214 or www.stanleyelectrical.co.nz.
Looking for a conference room for your next get-together? Raglan Holiday Park's Hui Room is a modern facility that caters for up to 35 people. And with large screen, bathroom facilities and a full